We live in a world today that seems to be full of broken relationships. And you don't have to look very far and you'll find husbands who are separated from their wife. You will find children who are distant from their parents, siblings that are at war with one another. Families are struggling in the world that we live in today. And it's not just the immediate family. You look at the extended family and you can picture Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays and other family gatherings, and you know the family is struggling today. And it's not just the family, it's the neighborhoods as well. As you try and get together, or you see your neighbor on the street, and you know there's friction there. Relationships are struggling. And then you go to the workplace, and it may be the cubicle next to you or the person on the seat next to you in the work truck, but people just don't get along sometimes. Relationships are struggling in the world that we live in today. And I want to ask you a question this morning. When you consider the world today and what life was like a number of years ago, are relationships stronger today or are they weaker today than they may have been 20 years ago? We know that relationships are under attack in our culture today. The Institute of Marriage is under attack as culture is trying desperately to redefine what marriage is. We talk about parenting, and there are laws in place that talk about what parents can and can't do with their children. And yet it seems every week that another state is making it legal for schools to distribute birth control methods to younger and younger children without parental notice. And yet it takes parental consent to even give a child an aspirin in schools today. What is the world coming to? What is going on in our nation today? What about marriage? Is marriage in the United States, is it stronger today or is it weaker today than it has been? How about respect in general? Is it stronger or is it weaker today than it used to be? Is the situation in our nation better or worse than it has been in times past? And you look at the average teenager today, is there more or less respect for authority, for honor, for gratitude, to be submissive, those types of things? Is it more or is it less as culture moves forward? Relationships are under attack. They're a mess. And friends, this morning in our text, Paul has some godly advice about relationships. Because things seem to be getting worse, generally speaking. We live in a world of severed relationships. And my concern is this. One thing that worries me is the accelerating adoption of the world's way of thinking by the church itself. We seem to be abandoning God's rules for our relationships, and therefore our relationships are struggling. Things are not getting worse. Things are getting worse. They're not getting better. You know, you don't even have to look very far and you see preachers as well and Christian leaders who are struggling in their relationships. You can look at the news as there's one scandal after another as this or that minister has left their wife. Some of them still in ministry. I reflect back on time in Bible college and the friends that I had there. And I still maintain contact with a number of them. And some of them are no longer in a relationship with their spouse. There was a Christian singer, a Christian artist in recent years who woke up one day and decided that she no longer loved her husband. Relationships are in trouble. Now I do want to pause for a minute. I want to send some information your way, some statistics. How many of you have heard that the divorce rate in our country today is about 50%? One half of marriages. I see a number of hands going up. That's the common statistic that's understood. And I want to suggest to you this morning that's not accurate. It's a pretty difficult statistic to nail down, in fact, because you have to determine how you're going to measure this. But for years, we've been told that the statistic, the failure rate of marriages is 50%. How many of you find that encouraging? Anybody? I mean, young people who are considering getting married today, why would I dare get married if it's 50% failure, right? Well, if you were to check the facts today, according to the most recent Census Bureau survey, 72% of people who have ever been married are still married to their first spouse. 72%. of people ever married are still married to their first spouse. You math scholars out there are saying, so it's 28%, right? Well, no, the 28% includes people who are both divorced as well as widowed. So many Christian leaders, God-fearing leaders, God-fearing experts today put that statistic much closer to 20%. It's a little bit more encouraging than 50%, isn't it? And while 20% is better, 20% failure in marriage is still not acceptable. Relationships are in trouble. And Paul is going to give us some godly advice about relationships as a whole. Not just marriages. Not just between a husband and a wife, but between parents and children. Employees and employers. Advice about how to make these things work. It is a lengthy passage that we're going to take a look at this morning. It's a poorly divided passage that we're going to take a look at. It's also a passage that's often misapplied. But I do believe it's probably one of the most important passages in our day and age. We live in a time period when households are desperate. I hope you have your Bible with you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. We're going to read all the way down through chapter 6, verse 9. So beginning in verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now most of you in your Bibles, you have a division right there. Don't you? Horrible place for division. In the original Greek language, this text, when it was originally written, there were no punctuation, there was no chapter divisions, verse references. Chapter divisions were added in the 1200s. Verse references were added in the 1500s. And poorly divided, okay? But let's continue. Once again, verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he's the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Continue in chapter 6. Again, poor place for division. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. So in this passage, Paul gives us godly principles, advice to make relationships work. Now I know when I started reading this passage, many of you, perhaps half of you, were saying, oh great, we're going to cover that verse today. But there's something that you need to understand. Before we get into this, I mentioned at the beginning, it's an often misapplied passage. And I want to start with two definitions before we jump in. The first word, we don't really like very much. It's the word submit. It's a common word throughout the New Testament, used many times in Ephesians, 38 times throughout the Bible. It means voluntary subordination, to place yourself under the guidance of another person. Giving preference to someone else. Voluntary subordination. But the second word I want to define is even more common in the Bible. More common in Scripture. It's the word for love. The word agape. It's the word used throughout our New Testament. In fact, a few hundred times in the Bible. Love, or cherish, the highest form of love, a godly form of love. But notice its definition. To subordinate one's own interests, pleasures, personality, for the benefit of someone else, even the undeserving. So when you look at those two words and you look at their definitions, which one requires more? Which one is stronger? Which one says even to submit yourself to somebody else, even if they're undeserving? Which one requires more sacrifice? Which one is deeper? It's love. It's the word love. And so as we look through this passage today and we see these two words, it talks about submit, it talks about love, they're remarkably similar, but submit, and then beyond that, the word love, go beyond that. Even if the person is undeserving, subordinate voluntarily. This word love is the same word used in John 3:16. I'd say the majority of us have that one memorized, perhaps. For God so loved, God so agaped, God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have eternal life. God so agaped. That's the type of love we're looking at again here in Ephesians. God loved the world so much He sent His only Son in our place. Jesus loved us so much, He willingly gave Himself up for us. And we find this word love, and it is much deeper than submit. It's a love that is self-sacrificing. It says, you first. It says, I would even give my life for you. So that's the requirement here. That's the principles that are given here. And so as we look down through this passage, I want to make sure we clearly understand these two words. Submit, limiting yourself intentionally, voluntary subordination. And then love, voluntary subordination, even when someone doesn't deserve it. So some observations from the text this morning. First of all, notice that the underlying principle of all the commands in this passage is what? Submit. Paul gives one command, and then he gives us six ways that he illustrates it throughout the passage. They're all talking about the same core value. We're all supposed to submit one to another. Notice verse 21 again. We try to separate it from verse 22 in our Bibles, but notice what it says. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Who's he talking to there? Who is Paul writing to? He's writing to all Christians. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We like to take this passage, this section, and we like to say, wives, you'd better submit to your husband. There it is. See right there. But in the original Greek language, the word submit is not even right there with that wife verse. It says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, to your husbands as to the Lord. And then he continues on. This passage is not just targeted at women. It's not just targeted at wives. It's one example in the passage. And then he continues on to flesh this concept out. Submission is the underlying principle of all the commands. Six different ways that he explains it. Wives to your husbands. Husbands, love, agape your wives. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, don't exasperate your children. Employees, obey with respect. Employers in the same way. One concept of mutual submission illustrated six ways. Wives, you need to do this for your husbands. Husbands, you've got to go even beyond that and truly love your wife. Children, you've got to submit and obey your parents. Fathers, don't exasperate your children. Think of them first. Don't bring them to the point where they want to rebel against you. Employers, employees in the same way. One command illustrated differently. It's not just a wife thing. That's not the core of this passage. So mutual submission, first observation. Second observation. Every one of these commands that Paul gives here is required elsewhere. I mean, think about it for a moment. All Christians were supposed to love each other. All Christians, we're supposed to honor our parents. All Christians, we're not supposed to intentionally anger someone, exasperate them. All Christians, we're supposed to respect each other. All Christians, we're supposed to work hard as if we're serving God. We've got commands we're told. We're supposed to obey these things. But it's not just simply singling people out and saying, wives, you're supposed to do this. Husbands, you're supposed to do this. Children, you're supposed to do this. Employees, you're supposed to do this. Employers, you're supposed to do this. Paul fleshes it out that way, but the core of it is submission, and each of these are required elsewhere by all of us. Third observation, what's the goal? Why are we called to do these things? What's the reasoning behind it? What does Paul say? In the passage, the goal is to be like Christ. And as you look down verse by verse, it contains what I'm going to describe as a crucial parallel with Christ. When you see the word as in the verse, that's what I'm talking about here. End of chapter 5 down through chapter 6. Wives, submit to your husbands. How? As to the Lord. Then he gives several for the husbands. Husbands, you're supposed to love your wife, cherish your wife, as Christ is the head of the church. As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her as your own body. Husbands, love your wife in that way. Then he goes on and he says to servants, or today we might say employees perhaps, you're supposed to work hard for your employer as if serving the Lord. To masters or employers, as to your Father in heaven. So not only are these truths, these principles, these commands for all of us, and the command for all of us to submit, but Paul says, here's the goal. The reason I'm telling you this, the reason I'm telling you to submit to one another is that we'll become more like Christ. That's the goal Paul has in this passage. Again, he's not just singling out wives to submit, but all of these commands, all of them, are for all Christians, that we would become more like Christ. The fourth observation, before we go any farther, why mention the categories that he does? I mean, if it's true that each of them are for all of us, and the underlying truth is about mutual submission, then why bother describing it for us? Well, I'd suggest for you this morning that these particular commands are given because they're problem areas. I don't know about your household. I don't know about your workplace, but I know about mine, and I could share stories that line up just like he lays it out here. I'm not saying my wife has a problem submitting. I'm not saying that. Don't tell her I said that. But husbands, you're supposed to truly love your wives. Why would Paul say that? Men, I hope you can relate. Sometimes it's hard to do that. We get a little selfish sometimes, and we want to get ours, and we want our own needs met. And sometimes it's hard for us to show our emotions. But Paul says, men, love your wives. Cherish your wife. You're supposed to love her. You're supposed to give yourself up for her. It's a problem area for us sometimes, men. Maybe nobody else has this problem but parents. Sometimes it's difficult to instruct our children and bring them up without exasperating them at times, isn't it? I know none of us have problems with our children not wanting to obey, right? No. These are problem areas. And all of us being employed at one time or another have probably felt, you know, wronged or whatever and desired to get even with the boss, the man. We've all heard stories of employers who take advantage of their employees. And Paul says, Christians, you're supposed to submit one to another just like Christ. And this is how you're supposed to do it. Wives, to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Fathers, don't exasperate your children. Children, obey your parents. Employees, you're supposed to serve your employer. Employers, don't you realize your employees are fellow citizens with you in Christ? And so he spells out these problem areas, practical ways that we recognize. Doesn't that shed some new light on the passage? I mean, we get to a passage like this, it's like, oh great, we have to go through that today. But friends, the core of it is submit, voluntary subordination. We had a series on family back in the spring after Easter, and there was a key message there I talked about mutual submission. If we could get everyone in the household to just ask the question and mean it, what can I do to help? What can I do to help? How can I help you? How can I submit to your needs, to what you need in this situation? That's what it's about here. So again, what do we do with a passage like this? I want to give you some applications. The first thing this passage clearly shows is that God cares about your relationships. God cares deeply about your relationship with Him, your vertical relationship with Him. But beyond that, God cares about our horizontal relationships. He cares very much about how we live here on this earth. We're supposed to serve Him and give Him glory, but God is also concerned about how we interact with other people, how we interact with our spouse, with our children, with our neighbors, with our boss or our employees, how we treat other people. But beyond that, God cares about you. He cares about you and He wants to see you succeed and be successful, and God cares about you. There are people in this room, I know some of you have been cut deep. Some of you continue to bear scars today from years ago, from horrible situation or whatever it is. They cut deep and we have severed relationships. Some of you have been through a divorce or are separated from your spouse, and God cares about your relationships. Some of you are having trouble with your kids and raising them, or if they're out of your house, maintaining a relationship with them, and God cares. Some of you are having problems with your parents getting along, and you're thinking, it's just not fair what they're expecting of me, but God cares. He wants you to be successful in your marriage. He wants you to be successful as parents. He wants you to be successful as children. He wants you to be successful in your business place. And so He gives us these instructions through Paul. But the problem is, the trouble is, that oftentimes we ignore God's advice. Oftentimes we think, well, I've got a better way, or I understand this is a unique situation. This wouldn't apply to me. That's the problem. Oftentimes we want to put aside the instruction God gives us and handle things on our own. But God cares enough about you, enough about your relationships. He wants you to succeed enough that God was willing to send His Son, Jesus Christ, here to the earth to die for you. Jesus Christ was willing to come and give His life for you so that you could succeed. Yes, salvation, but so that you could succeed as well, that you would know how to treat one another, that you would know how to interact with one another. If you want your relationships to be whole and happy and for there to be harmony there, here's where it starts. It starts with submitting. It starts with submitting and becoming like Christ. Second application. Relationships, healthy relationships don't just happen on their own. Relationships take work. They take a lot of work. It requires self-sacrifice. It requires giving and taking. And marriage is not always easy. We know that. Parenthood is not always easy. We know that. Getting along with our parents, our aging parents, is not always easy. We know that. Getting along with siblings is not always easy. Friendship is not always easy. It takes work. Sometimes relationships are hard. Sometimes they are frustrating. Sometimes they get to a point where we even think they're unbearable. Just plain frustrating and unpleasant. But we have to work on them. And Paul says, here's the goal to becoming the kind of people God wants you to be. You need to self-sacrifice. You need to voluntarily submit yourselves one to another. And then your relationships will grow. If you want to please God, this is how you do it. Now, who of all people had every right to demand anything of anyone? Jesus did, right? I mean, Jesus came here to the earth. We know from Scripture He lived a perfect life. Of anyone who ever walked this earth, Jesus could have demanded of anyone. But is that how He lived? Is that how He carried Himself? No, He voluntarily subordinated Himself and said, that's not what I want, but that's what God wants, and I'm willing to give myself for you. Relationships don't just happen, they take hard work. Third application, and this may be the most important yet, but God is more concerned about what you contribute to your relationship than with what you demand of your relationship. God is more concerned about what you put into your relationship than with what you get out of your relationship. If you haven't figured this out yet, you can't fix others. And that's why many relationships fail. That's why many marriages struggle. We demand things from somebody else. I want what I want. And you're in this relationship with me and you're going to give it to me. But that's not where the passage starts. It's not about demanding something from someone else. It starts with us each personally submitting one to another. Here's how we need to live out our life in Christ, submitting one to another. If you want a perfect spouse, perhaps you should try to be a perfect spouse. If you want a solid, healthy friendship, a good friendship, perhaps you should start by being a good friend. God is more concerned about what you contribute to the relationship than what you demand from somebody else. One more application of this, the very core of this passage again. God wants us first of all to submit to Him. So here's how we work on proper marriages, on parenting, on getting along, work habits. Christians, we're supposed to submit to one another because that's what Christ did for us. Christians, we're supposed to submit to each other how? As Christ gave Himself up for us. We're supposed to submit to each other, but God is calling us to submit to Him, most importantly. Again, I know that there are many of you in this room who have been hurt and are scarred and don't want to give relationships another chance. But how many chances has God promised to give you while you are still breathing? It might be a friendship. It might be a marriage. It might be a child-parent relationship, maybe a struggle at work. We live in a world suffering all types of broken relationships. But friends, we are called to submit to God, and as we submit to Him, we will know better how to submit to one another. We can't fix other people, but we can work on ourselves and the character within ourselves, the character of Christ in our lives. This is how we can reclaim our marriages. This is how we can rebuild relationships with our children, with our siblings. This is how we can rebuild relationships in our workplace, in our nation, as we become the kind of people God has called us to be, submitted to Him, submitted to one another, loving one another, truly caring for one another. We get to that point, and families won't just survive, but families will begin to thrive. And I firmly believe the family unit is the core of the success of a nation. When the family is strong and healthy and following God-given principles, that result will be explosive elsewhere. A number of years ago, a man became very ill. And his health was failing. And he was losing weight. He was losing strength. He wasn't eating. And things were not going well. And finally the day came where he and his wife made the decision, we've got to go to the doctor. We've waited long enough. And they went there, and the doctor, after examining him and taking time to discuss with him what was going on, he pulled the wife aside. And he sat her down and he said, "Ma'am, your husband is very ill. This is not going to work out well unless..." And she said, "So you're telling me there's hope here?" "Yes. But this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to take your husband home, and you're going to have to make sure that he eats 3 square meals a day. You need to love him, and you need to have compassion on him, and you need to show him affection, and you've got to make sure he gets plenty of rest." Later on, the wife came out, and she joined her husband out in the lobby. And he asked, "Well, what did the doctor say?" And she said, "You're not going to make it." Terrible relationship, I know. But we live in a world of broken and severed relationships. Desperate state of ill repair. And many marriages are failing. Many people aren't doing a good job raising their children. Morality is going downhill. And the reason is because we have abandoned God's principles for relationships. Paul is calling us to return to God's Word and to God's will for our life, that we would adopt God's principles for living. If we continue to ignore His principles, our relationships will continue to deteriorate. But if we begin, If we begin to submit first to Christ, to submit to one another, we will have strong families, strong marriages, strong friendships, strong relationships. Submit first to Christ, and then you submit to one another. Ephesians 5, verse 21, just one more time. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let's pray together this morning.